Our sermon text this morning comes from the Gospel of John. There will be portions of it that are very familiar to you. Hear these words. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But for those who do what is true, come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God." Again, we welcome you to Good Shepherd United Methodist Church this morning. Those of you who are with us in the building and those who are online, thank you for being here. We continue this exciting journey of discovery for what God has in store for Good Shepherd in 2024. We hope you come alongside us as we travel. Thanks for being with us. And if this is your first time at Good Shepherd United Methodist Church, welcome to the family. All of us are a part of the family here, whether we're here in the house or whether we're online. So let's take a moment this morning to wave to our folks here and online to connect our spirits with each other and our spirits to God. If you in-house folks, if you see unfamiliar faces or someone who hadn't been here in a while, please be sure that you offer them a warm Good Shepherd United Methodist Church welcome. Those of you online, don't forget to comment so that we know that you are here and lift up your praises and prayer requests to us as well. I'm Pastor Regina, and I look forward to spending this next time with you. As we continue our Lenten journey this morning, we recognize our need for spiritual preparation, repentance, and reconciliation. Hopefully, we're all taking some time this season for self-examination. We're offering ourselves and we're offering forgiveness to others. And we're experiencing a restoration of our faith. Through prayer, study, and fasting during this holy season, we become stronger in our faith and our devotion to God. In our Lenten sermon series, The Depths of Love, as we enter the Passion of Jesus, we are discovering just how much we are loved and that all is not lost in Christ. We began exploring the true meaning of love as we started this series, combining the examples of Jesus, the covenant between God and Noah, the time-honored definition that we find in 1 Corinthians 13, and the greatest commandment. When we did that, we discovered our call and responsibility to unconditionally love others as we have been loved. Jesus showed us just how much we are loved through his resistance of temptation in the desert, and the ultimate resistance of his self-will on the cross. We continued our journey in Mark's gospel and discovered how we, like the early disciples, are called to take up the cross for the sake of the gospel. We learned what is required of us when we choose to follow Christ. We recognize ourselves in those first disciples and discovered what kind of Messiah Jesus really is. We recognize that our first century brothers and sisters heard that phrase, take up the cross, in a far different way than we do in the 21st century. Taking up our crosses is where we are called out of our comfort zones to uncomfortable places. Those uncomfortable places that call us to love unconditionally, to defend mercy and justice, and whatever else obedience calls us to do. Last week, we explored Jesus' righteous anger of what worship had become and connected the work we do in our world and for the gospel with our connection to worship. We discovered the meaning of right presence in worship, and we were reminded where the focus of worship should be. Today, we listen in on Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, and we discover what a true relationship with God means. Today's scripture begins with a conversation where Jesus answers Nicodemus' inquiry of how to be born anew in relationship with God. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, was risking his livelihood and maybe even his own life by having such an intimate conversation with Jesus. Nick came to Jesus at night so no one would see him. He wanted to know and believe in this way of living that Jesus was teaching, to believe the miracles that he had seen were real, and to understand what it meant for his future, to believe that the Messiah had finally come. Yet Nicodemus was in conflict with what he had known all of his life and the religion that he practiced and led. Now, The Chosen, if you've seen that, did a wonderful display of Nicodemus' emerging conflict and his ultimate decision to not openly follow Jesus. However, the viewers did get the impression that Nicodemus followed in secret and did what he could to support Jesus' efforts. When I imagine that one-on-one conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, I see Nicodemus initially as nervous. One, because he's chosen to enter the conversation, and two, because he's unaware of what reaction Jesus might have to the question he was about to ask. Jesus enters this lamp-lit room, and all worry for Nicodemus fades. Jesus is open and honest with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus becomes an inquisitive, open listener to just what he wants to hear about the truth of Jesus. I've always liked Nicodemus. He seems genuine in his desire to know Jesus and to integrate his religious background with these new teachings of Jesus and the kingdom of God. He's a lot like us. Sometimes we think we get it, and then sometimes we're so confused. But Nicodemus is in conflict. He's this high-ranking official in the current religious structure of the day, and his way of life was threatened by Jesus. We could liken Nicodemus's quandary to the angst some of us feel in the way the church of our childhood and the merging a church of the future differ. Religion, as Nick knew it, was about to change drastically from the traditions and the oppression of its current state in this new kingdom. There was a new covenant coming. There was freedom in this religion. And Nicodemus and all of his compadres were a bit nervous. We might ask ourselves, what would we do if we were in Nicodemus's robes? We pick up this story as Jesus referenced for Nicodemus this incident that happened as the chosen people were wandering in the desert. They had encountered snakes, and these snakes were biting all the people, and there was sickness and there was death. So God told Moses to fashion a bronze serpent and lift that serpent up. And when the people gazed on this sermon, they would receive healing. And Jesus compared this story to the need to believe in Him in order to have eternal life. Belief in Jesus as God's Son is necessary for eternal life spent in God's presence for those of us who practice and believe the Christian faith. This belief is where Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus. We hear Jesus utter the familiar words of John 3:16 that many of us have known since childhood. Even those folks who don't know much about the Christian faith have probably encountered this verse or at least seen its reference behind the goalpost at a football game. We often forget that following verse, though. That following verse where Jesus did not come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Both verses, 16 and 17, speak to the deep love that God has for humanity. Jesus continues his conversation by reminding Nicodemus that humanity, him, the world, and even us, that we love the darkness more than light. We often choose that easy route of the world's darkness rather than to seek the light of Christ. It's only by stepping into Christ's light that we can encounter and see what God has done and is doing in the world and how much God loves each of us. Let's go back to that familiar verse in John 3:16 and let's say it together in whatever way you've got it memorized in your head, because depending on which version we memorized when we were in Sunday school, we probably have different versions. So let's say that together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. It's the goodness of God's love that matters in this world. Everything that we are called to do in this world should be motivated out of God's love for us. It's not the condemnation of the world, not the judgment of those who do not agree, not ostracized and marginalized of those who do not think, act, and look like us that is at the forefront of our actions, but love. God's love for each of us. Our choice as followers of Christ is to choose healing, transformation, honor, and respect for and with all people. These actions demonstrate God's love. Christians, contrary to some examples that we see, are not and should not be in the condemning business. Jesus wasn't. Neither should we be. Condemnation is the easy route. It's even the popular route in society. But Jesus continually reminds us that judgment is His job, not ours. Judgment is not our responsibility. There's a current news story in our community where it would be easy for us to pass judgment. So let us not be quick to enter into disparaging conversation, but to offer loving reminders that all persons are loved by God. May we look to the actions of Jesus for ways to practice love instead of condemnation. Remember, as evidenced by the future examples of Holy Week, Jesus ate with Judas and even washed his feet. As we offer mercy, grace, and acceptance to those we meet along life's journey, even if we feel it's not deserved, we will demonstrate God's love and shine the light of Jesus into our world. We are ambassadors of God's love and Christ's grace in the world. May we love others so that they see and know God's love for them. May Christ's body, the church, Good Shepherd United Methodist Church, and its members and friends be the place where love is shown, acceptance is demonstrated, and grace is offered in the name of Jesus Christ. As we end this service, may we together do the following breath prayer. I want us to breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. As you breathe in the love of God. As you breathe out, release the condemnation that is in you. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out condemnation. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out condemnation. As we move into Holy Communion, may we be equipped to be the people of God. May we be equipped as we come and receive simple, ordinary bread and juice, that it may remind us how much we are loved and how much God has done for us. And then may we go out and share that love with others. We are reminded, particularly as we walk through our time of Lent and our Holy Week journey, just how traditional that Passover meal was, but yet how different. Jesus gathered with His friends, and He wanted to have this celebratory meal that they had all done since they were little. But then He offered those nuances that made it different, that made it a part of that new covenant. But what we are reminded as we come, all of us are welcome at this table. It's not just those of us here in the sanctuary. It's not just Good Shepherd. It is not just the United Methodist Church. But everyone who wishes to seek a better life in Christ is welcome at this table. But even if you have never had communion, you've never been baptized, you've never really experienced a relationship with Christ, this table is still open to you, because in the United Methodist tradition, we believe Holy Communion to be a means of grace in which you may receive what God has done for you, and you may receive that presence. So what we want to remember is that we come as a forgiven people, and all are welcome. Let us pray. Holy and awesome God, we're human. We know we've messed up. We know we are not worthy to come to the table that you spread for us. But what we do know, Lord, if we are seeking and when we are willing, that we are welcome. That we are welcome to come and have you speak through ordinary elements of bread and juice. And Lord, we ask now, as we take a moment of silence, that you forgive those things which we offer to you. Lord, for your forgiveness, we give you thanks, and we ask you to reveal to us your presence in our lives. Amen. At that dinner, which was so familiar to them, Jesus took this bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Every time you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." After supper, when he took that last cup of blessing, changed the script a little bit, a lot, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy and awesome God, we thank you for the gifts that you present to us. We thank you for these ordinary elements which become a blessing to us. Lord, we just thank you, and we ask that you pour out your Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, that they may become for us the body and blood of Christ that is redeemed by your blood. Lord, we just ask that as we come together, that we feel your presence and know your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. If those who are helping me this morning will come forward. would take a piece of bread, hand it to you. You would dip it in the cup. And then the altar is open for you to pray together. There is gluten-free options available for you and single-serve options if you're not comfortable with intinction. Come as you are led to the table of Christ.
Demand shameful sin placed on him, the hope of every man. Know the blood of Jesus washes thee. Know the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Save your son, Holy One, slain so I can live. Oh, see the Lamb, the great I Am, who takes away my sin. Know the blood of Jesus washes me. Know the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Now the blood of the Lamb. Now the blood of the Lamb. Now the blood of the Lamb. The precious blood of the Lamb. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice saved my life. Oh, the blood, it is my victory.
Let us claim that victory as we leave this place and go share the love of Christ with others. Amen. You may be... You may be dismissed.
Know the blood of Jesus washes me. Know the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice. Saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice. Saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.